Fender Radio is on now.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Infender Radio, the best Nintendo podcast on the English-speaking internet. This is episode 327. I'm your host, Holly Felmuth. Joining me tonight is Lewis Pugh.
Hello, everyone.
And a special guest, Justin Riley.
Hey, everybody.
Justin is a fellow writer on the site, and because Colin and Harrison were unable to make it, he was graciously willing to join us at an early hour.
Nothing too early for you guys.
It was 8 o'clock. It is 8 o'clock a.m. for me. I believe it's like 7 for Justin and like 3 p.m. for Lewis. So
it is, yeah. I mean, yeah, the sun is shining and it's a very odd but very nice experience over here.
That's good. It's early and very rainy here, actually, so it's kind of a grim morning out there. But today we are kind of reverting back to our tried and true structure. We're going to start with what we've been playing, talk about the Nintendo news, and finish on our feature, which is just listener comments and questions. So, Lewis, do you want to kick off our what we've been playing section today?
Yeah, it would be a pleasure. I've been playing kind of two games recently on my Wii U. The first of which has been Hyrule Warriors.
Which
we got, obviously, was it a week before you guys?
Yep.
Yeah. And I've been taking advantage of that time, and I've got through a lot of Legendary mode, been doing some Adventure mode, and some other modes as well. And I've also been playing the game in local co-op as well as just playing it by myself.
That's fun.
It is really good, actually. I heard some negative comments going in, so I was a bit worried that it wouldn't be a very good experience. I heard, you know, the graphics take a hit, the frame rate drops as well.
Yeah, I'd heard a lot of that on the frame rate takes a big hit.
Yeah, I mean, both points are technically true, but I just have so much fun playing it. It really doesn't bother me in the slightest. Having a second, like, human player to help you in these battles is a huge help. You can kind of, like, divide and conquer. You can have one person, like, at your base while the other person makes advances, as it were, through the missions. And you can, like, switch up when you're going to have both of you attacking a boss at the same time. And you can do a lot of really crazy stuff, especially with all the, you know, the huge special moves. Just seeing, like, both of those happening at the same time by two individual players is quite the spectacle. So it's really cool doing that local co-op. And I've played it on the gamepad as well as on the TV, and it looks pretty nice on the gamepad. I mean, it takes a little hit, but there's still, you know, like, hundreds of enemies on the battlefield. It still looks pretty cool. And, you know, the special attacks are still as crazy as they are as well. So, I'm having a lot of fun on Hyrule Warriors. And I'm pretty sure I'm quite near the end of Legendary mode now.
Which is the story mode.
Yeah, that's the story mode. I keep getting that mixed up with the Adventure mode, which is the, you know, the NES-based version where you go around screen by screen.
Yeah.
I've only done a couple missions in that so far.
Cool.
Well, I've actually been able to have a little bit of time playing co-op, and I have to say that's the best way to play the game. I'm not one to pay much attention to technical stuff, and I didn't really notice anything wrong with the frame rate or anything like that, and so I just had a really good time with that, and every time I play it by myself now, I'm just like, well, it's okay, but not great. I really like playing with someone as well, just cooperating and kind of doing your own thing on the battlefield, but at the same time trying to work together to make it work is really fun.
So. Yeah, and I think it's cool also when you have like those mid-mission breaks where you can go to the bazaar and like tool up for the next mission. I think that's more fun when you've got a buddy there as well. And so you can just kind of build up like your own characters. Like if you look at in advance to see who you're going to be next, and especially if you can, you know, try and be them for the next couple of missions running. I think it's pretty cool building them up together.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, Holly, what's your character you kind of gravitate towards currently?
Currently, Impa. She's cool.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's it. I don't have another character who I've thought like, oh, that is so cool. The harp is okay with Sheik, but Impa and the giant's knife is what I really like using at the moment.
That's pretty cool. I've I'm having quite a bit of fun playing with Lana currently. Huh. When you kind of build up her special attacks, she gets some really cool moves, including one of them where you start... I think I saw this on the video beforehand, where you basically start like rolling on this big dice-like cube, and you just crush your enemies by rolling this cube, basically, as you're running on top of it.
I guess I don't have that move yet.
Yeah, she gets lots of weird and wacky moves, which aren't technically like her big moves. You can just use them as combos.
Huh. I need to start fighting with her a bit, I guess.
Yeah.
She does have a lot of personality. I do like that. She's really fun to use.
She does kind of like stick out a little from the crowd. There's something about her design I can't quite put my finger on, which makes me think she doesn't quite belong with the rest of the characters.
But
she's still a cool character, though.
Her personality. I mean, she'll like do a certain combo attack. There's this one combo attack where she kind of like crushes her enemies between two of those magic blocks and stuff. And she does that thing where she winks and she's just like she's just really enjoying herself on the battlefield. None of the other characters are quite like that. So
yeah, a little bit too much. But no, I've been having a lot of fun on it so far.
Cool.
The other game I've been playing kind of came out of nowhere, at least in my opinion. I didn't even realise this was on the release schedule, which is Art of Balance, which came out on the eShop last week in Europe.
For the 3DS?
No, this is for the Wii U.
Oh, okay.
It's made by developers called Shinen, and they've made such games such as... Ooh, I need that list now.
Oh, is that you typing?
No, it wasn't, actually. That was just a pure coincidence. No, I was using my cursor.
I guess Justin's trying to find it, too.
Yeah, I was frantically typing up Art of Balance as he spoke.
Oh, no, it's a bit unprofessional, but I can't think of it. But they've done some shooter games, both for the Wii U and on the 3DS previously. But Art of Balance is essentially, I guess, a spiritual sequel from a game of the same name on WiiWare, which I never played, but I heard good things about. So I picked up Art of Balance for the Wii U and kind of been playing it afresh, and it's a really cool game. It's essentially has a bunch of different modes, with the main one being kind of like some sort of a mission-based mode where you basically have like a load of different puzzles you've got to solve, and the way you solve them is you have a set amount of blocks given to you on the table, and you've got to stack them up on this kind of platform, which is on a pivot, so it can lean one way or the other, depending on how much weight it has on one side or the other. And you essentially just need to stack all the blocks you have in a sort of column which doesn't fall over for 3 seconds once they're all stacked. And so it's a very simple premise, but it has some very cool just puzzle design elements in it. Despite only having a certain amount of blocks, you will have to do some weird things to stack them correctly. And later on, they'll start introducing different types of blocks. Like you get these glass blocks that are, if you have too many blocks on top of them, they shatter. And so the things on top of them also fall down. And so you need to make sure your structure is designed in such a way that the ones falling down will not knock everything out and will make a smaller platform. And so there's a lot of fun to be had in this game, and there's a bunch of different modes. All of the modes are compatible for up to 5 players local, which is pretty awesome in my book. I like games like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of sounds like Jenga with a twist.
It is. And there is a mode which is even more like Jenga in this, which are also kind of oddly reminds me of Boom Blocks on the Wii, which is kind of another Jenga-esque game. But there's also got some online modes with online scoreboards, and it's really well done packaged, and the graphics are surprisingly nice as well. Despite it just being like this board and dropping blocks on it, they put this in like these nice serene environments, and most of the time they're in like this bowl of water, and it's like this like zen-like atmosphere, and it's surprisingly nice for the type of game it is. It's got some nice HD graphics for block placing.
That sounds pretty cool, actually.
But yeah, I definitely recommend this. I'm not entirely sure if it is out on the American eShop. It might be something you've had for a little while. We've got late or something which we've got in first. But yeah keep
I'm
an
not
eye
sure.
out for it.
I feel like whenever I go to the eShop, I always have like a few announcements that I missed. And usually it say like, what's new on the eShop for this week? And I feel like I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
So
I'd definitely give the shout out for any European listeners, because, you know, currently if you go to the eShop, you get this great thumping High Warrior music pumping at you with lots of banners for High Warriors. So I imagine Art of Balance could get missed currently, despite having one of the slots on the home screen. So now do check it out. It is a very cool game if you're into puzzle games, and especially if you've got some people you can play with local co-op.
I want to go to the eShop just to see the Hyrule Warriors stuff.
I assume it's the same for you guys.
Yeah, me too. They do that here.
Yeah, so. They now got even the little narrow playing and the name of the track on the banner.
Huh. I am going to visit the eShop sometime for that, just because. But if we don't have any further questions for Lewis, and I'm really interested in that game too. I'm going to look into that for the US as well, for North America, now that we have a Canadian. Were you born and raised in Canada? Or Canada, sorry.
Canada. Yes, I've always lived in Canada.
Okay, cool. So I should start using North America as opposed to United States.
Born and raised in Canada, yeah.
Well, if anything, we've got a proposal for the show title this week.
Yep, sounds good to me. Oh, jeez. Oh.
You have to power the scrubble this out, just remember.
It's true. I'll make it into bloopers. All right. So, Justin, do you want to talk about what you've been playing? I might have sprung this on you because we weren't planning on doing this structure, but...
No, that's all right. Yeah.
Hyrule Warriors, I'm guessing?
No. I'm still on the fence about that one. I have not committed to it yet. I never got into the Dynasty Warriors game, so I keep looking at it and thinking, no, I'll probably get it, but I'm wiffle-waffling on that one, so.
Price drop.
Yeah, I might have to wait for that. But no, what I finally picked up Bravely Default, and I have been loving it. I know both of you liked it at first, and then it said the story dropped off near the end, but I haven't reached that point yet.
If it's in your top five of our RPGs for the 3DS.
So far it is. I've not reached that point yet, but I think I'm about 20 hours in, and it's right up my alley. It's exactly the type of game I always grew up playing. I loved all those Super Nintendo JRPGs, and this is exactly the kind of game I like. So yeah, so far I love it. The battle system is perfect for me, and the job system is really fun to play around with. So yeah, that's what I've been playing on. I had picked up a couple other games, including Luigi's Mansion, but I've been so hooked into Bravely Default, I have barely touched anything else in the last 2 weeks. So that's pretty much all I've been able to find time for, because I can't seem to get away from it.
Yeah. It is like, you know, 20 to 50 hours in. I mean, you're 20 hours in right now, and it's fine. And I'd say it stays fine till, you know, 45, 50 hours in.
Yeah, I'll get back to you guys on how I truly feel about it once I get a little farther. But yeah, no, so far it's the story's interesting. It's definitely the typical Japanese RPG fantasy type story. But I'm hooked so far. So we'll see how long that lasts.
So are you listening to the English voice acting or the Japanese?
I am listening to the English, although I generally skip half of the actual voices anyways, because it's not anything to write home about by any means. It's pretty standard voice acting at best, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of the voices are just plain annoying, if you ask me.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. So I haven't listened to the Japanese.
So we're not talking about Ring a Bell here, are we?
Oh, Ring a Bell's great. So is Idea, I think. I hated Idea's voice at first, but then I grew to really like it. It's Anya's. Yeah. Anya's, her weird high-pitched
basically
voice.
Basically, anytime Anya says unacceptable, I cringe a little bit.
Oh, I agree. I did that. I did the exact same thing.
Yeah, but no, so far I'm loving that game. I've been dabbling in the Super Smash demo a little bit as well, just kind of getting used to the controls for next week. But other than Bravely Default's been the only game I've really been playing.
Yeah, I surprisingly haven't touched the Super Smash Bros. Demo much for a while. I don't know. I guess it's just because the game is so close. And also, I had to send in my 3DS for repairs just this past, I think, Wednesday?
Yeah, you're going to get it back in time?
I hope so. It's already been repaired. It was shipped. Nintendo has a nice system now where it shows you each phase of the repair and where it's at, and it's shipped, and it said that after it has shipped, it will take 9 to 11 business days, I think, to get back.
Ooh.
So I'm hoping it will come either by the time Super Smash Bros. Comes out, or at least the Monday after.
Well, my fingers are crossed for you.
Thanks. Mine are too. All right, so Bravely Default. I was thinking I had more questions. Oh, yeah. So the Bravely and Default system, or the Brave and Default system, what do you think about that? I think that is a fantastic way to shake up the usual JRPG.
Yeah, at first, like on first play of the demo, I didn't like it just because it was outside of the norm for me when it comes to those JRPGs, but I've really grown to like it. Especially when you're stuck battling a whole lot of enemies that are way below you, you can just plow through them real quick and move on, and it makes grinding a lot easier. And some people, grinding's not a fun thing. I don't love it. So it's nice to be able to just plow through real quick, get some experience and move on, and then use it more strategically in the boss fight. So I've really grown to like that.
Yeah. You bring up some good points there as well. I was just curious because I didn't grow up playing a whole lot of JRPGs, but I know this game is kind of a throwback to the old ones in terms of gameplay. So I was just wondering what you thought about the kind of new addition of braving and defaulting.
Yeah, it's definitely a nice twist because it definitely still feels like one of those old games, like Final Fantasy, Earthbound, Chrono Trigger, those type games. But the twist gives it a freshness that you're not just playing the same game over again.
Mm-hmm. I guess I will move on to talking about what I've been playing. I was basically just going to talk about Hyrule Warriors as well.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I didn't check to see how much time I've spent in it so far. I've only had it for how long have I had it for? Okay, it's Sunday morning. Okay, so I've had it for almost 2 days. I've spent a pretty fair amount of time in it, I guess. But I don't have much more to add than what Lewis has said. Although, some people have said the graphics are pretty good. I would kind of disagree with that, actually.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a huge fan of the graphics. The way the enemies are just weird and jerky, and they don't seem like they have any life in them.
Yeah, it's a bit selective of its graphics. Like, I think the warriors themselves all look really good. The model for Link looks fantastic. But no, I agree, just whether it's to do with the odd style of the enemies, the skeletons they've picked from Ocarina of Time look just like the same models they used almost. But other enemies seem to be reimagined and they look a lot better. And so it's weird having this mix of enemies which have been used for older games, which just look older because they are from older models. And some newer stuff, so it does have this inconsistency there.
I did kind of notice that in the videos.
Yeah. I would actually... Okay, so Justin, you're on the fence.
Yes.
I would say stay on the fence. Wait for the price drop. I think the game's pretty fun. I really did like it in local co-op. I won't get a whole lot of chances to play it in local co-op, though, because I don't have many family members who are willing, but that was definitely a shining moment for me. But, after a while, the repetitiveness really is just so repetitive that it's like, meh.
Yeah, it strikes me as the type of game where it'd be a lot more fun in co-op. So having someone to run around with and to take on all the enemies. And yeah, same with you. I don't have a lot of people to play with locally. So I'll stick on the fence for now. But we'll see if Lewis can convince me down the road.
I was going to say, I might start playing Devil Advocate here, because I think it's less repetitive than I was thinking it would be, at least going in with, just because I've heard a lot about, Dynasty Warriors and how they're repetitive games.
Not, I do agree with
that, not that,
actually.
I've played it myself, but going through the Legendary mode, most of the missions do feel quite different in terms of, especially when it splits up into, the three different time periods. Some of the moments of that feel almost like an actual Zelda game, like some of the bigger boss fights. I'm thinking in particular a mission from Skyward Sword, which is taken out of it, and you're firing the Grucinator as well as attacking the toes of, I forget its name now.
The toes of,
yeah,
is it a boss from
the
game?
The big boss in Skyward Sword, you fight about half a dozen
Demise.
Times. Yeah, him.
I think that's Demise, right?
No, not Demise.
What?
The Imprisoned, I think it is.
Oh, yeah, because I guess Demise is the final form. Eh, I was close enough.
But yeah, I think there's a bunch of missions in there which really do kind of change things up. And I do like how it's not just a matter of slogging through enemies. You do need to be wary about how the enemies are kind of encroaching on your territory. So you might have to go back to your base, make sure your allies are well prepared to fight any forces which may come as you kind of advance forwards. And so it keeps you on your toes, which I'm liking so far. And yeah. I've yet to complete the legendary mode. I reckon kind of the fatigue will set in once I've done that and start slogging through adventure mode, as it were.
Which is what Colin said was like the best part of the game.
Exactly, yeah. So that could be very promising.
Yeah.
That and, well, I guess it's paid for, but there is a bunch of DLC as well. But it just looks like there's a ton of content in there. But I guess it will depend how much that wears on you. But at this point, I think I put about 20 hours in or so. It still feels pretty fresh to me, and I'm very surprised at that from its kind of heritage it's coming from.
I do agree that it wasn't as is repetitive the word I've been using. It wasn't as repetitive as I was expecting, but it still is a little bit. I try to just shake things up. It's the combat to me that is really repetitive. You're just going through and just mashing buttons, basically.
That's true.
Me anyway.
Yeah, so you can build them up though, and there are like actual combos that you can, you know, remember, as it were, and fire them off, and they're so crazy. I think there's a lot of fun just pulling off those weird and wacky moves and just keeping up the gauges which enable you to do your specials and so on.
Yeah. Still feels slightly button mashy, but yeah, I have had, I try to shake it up a bit by changing my combo a little once in a while, trying to pick the combo that best suits the situation and all, but I don't know. The combat kind of wears on me after a while. But yeah, it is true that the game does keep you on your toes. Sometimes I think a little bit too much, because I'm just like, well, what on earth do I do next? So-and-so is advancing on my like home base or whatever, but then so-and-so over here is losing a fort, and I don't know what to do, and sometimes it's a little too chaotic.
Yeah, I can't say I actually died much in the game, but I have failed a bunch of missions because my base was captured, for instance, and it just caught me off guard. I didn't realise it was so close to being defeated, just because I was so distracted, as it were, by trying to do a different part of the mission.
Yeah, I know it's kind of meant to be chaotic in that way, but sometimes I do wish that like the gameplay were just a little bit slower so that I could, you know, deliberately like do this and do that, but I just feel like I'm rushed. Like, do I really need to do that, or can I go explore? That's another thing. I think that the exploration is actually fairly good considering what I expected before I got the game, but I feel like I can't explore because, like, oh my gosh, someone's Darunia is advancing. Oh, I guess that's, I don't know. Darunia, you actually, to add Darunia to your party, you have to fight him. I won't go into any more detail there, but I just did that mission last night, and it was like, Darunia is advancing on your base. And I was like, what? I want to go explore and try to find some secrets. Like, a gold Sculptula appeared, and I couldn't go find that because I felt so rushed. So, I don't know. It's kind of just a so-so game for me.
I still don't manage to get any of those gold Sculptulas. I'm always distracted by doing something else to actually find any of those gold Sculptulas.
Wait, how do you get them?
That's the thing, yeah, they appear on your map as the webs. And yeah. But I'm always just doing something else. Like, I can't be bothered to get out at this point. I'm too worried I'm going to lose the mission for one reason or another. I'm just going to keep powering through at this point. I'll maybe worry about it another time.
Yeah, it is a little difficult. At least the game, okay, something that I actually do like about it is that it kind of shows you, it gives you all these different tasks you can do. It even tells you, like, before each mission, like, there are this many treasure chests here and you can try to find those. So it'll basically tell you your progress on each stage. It'll give you like a checkpoint for the gold Sculptula or a checkpoint for the difficulty you completed it on. You can select your difficulty right at the beginning, easy, normal, or hard. So you can, you know, completionists will actually, I think, really like it. I've been enjoying that aspect of it. But I almost do wish that I stayed on the fence. Almost. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe there's more things that will impress me yet. I haven't unlocked a whole lot of characters.
I was gonna say, yeah, it is fun just unlocking certain characters, and the story does go in odd places that you may not be expecting it. Well, you may not have been before I said that, but it may not be as kind of expected, as you would initially think for kind of a Zelda side story game. But yeah, you probably know of most of the unlockable characters in the game. They will, you know, drag them into the story somehow. And so, yeah, there's some cool surprises to be had.
I'm excited to try out some new characters too. So, yeah, it's got good and bad for me. But I think we'll move on now to the Nintendo news section for this week. Okay, so on September 23rd, Nintendo turned 125 years old.
It's pretty old. It's pretty old.
We should have prepared some like poppers or something like that.
That's sure. Right. Oh, we edit them in. It's
fine. Hey, add some fireworks sounds.
Or like some like random like audience yay and clapping sounds.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. Fantastic. We could do this episode in front of an audience. I mean, it was really cool to do.
So yeah, Nintendo's 125. Originally, we were going to make this episode a special episode where we basically talked about Nintendo basics, Nintendo history, and stuff like that. Mostly so that our friends and family who don't play Nintendo could actually listen to an episode. And it was kind of, at the same time, going to be a celebration of Nintendo's 125th anniversary. But for now, we'll just say congratulations, Nintendo.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Yeah, holy cow. It's really interesting. I don't know if you have read very much into Nintendo's history, but it's a very interesting history with a lot of time that we just don't really care about. We care about the beginning where they started making playing cards and they were kind of like a little toy company in Japan. But mostly what we care about, obviously, is how they became like the video game giant that they are. So that's kind of interesting. Australia, I'm just going to move right along here. Australia and New Zealand are getting the new Nintendo 3DS on November 21st. So they're the first region outside of Japan to have like a solid time or release. It's like a day and everything. So what do we think about this? I'm a little, I don't know, miffed, jealous, I don't know.
I don't understand the reason why. I mean, it's great if you do live one of those places it is coming out this year. But it seems weird because, yeah, Australia runs on the PAL convention as well for their game systems. The same as Europe. So it's odd how Europe has, or Nintendo of Europe, I should say, has confirmed they are coming next year at some point. Yeah, I'm not sure why they're going ahead doing it this way. Maybe it's a matter of units they are able to produce in time. Maybe it's kind of a Nintendo of Europe and Nintendo of America just purely think from a sales perspective they can make more money selling regular 3DSs and then get the bump after Christmas with the new systems where they wouldn't be able to sell any normally. I don't know. It seems a bit weird. There hasn't really been any sort of track record to go off with a release like this.
Yeah, it seems a little odd to me. Like, you would not release it worldwide, at least around the same time, if not the same day. Especially with Christmas coming up, the perfect opportunity would be holiday here. And you know that the hardcore gamers are not going to buy anything new because they're going to hold out for that. And that's a big loss of sales, if you ask me.
One thing I noticed is that Nintendo is suddenly, especially here in the United States, possibly in Europe, I don't have a sense of that, but in the United States, we're getting a whole bunch of new, like, regular 3DS models.
Yeah.
So I think that might actually play into the fact that the United States isn't getting it this year. Nintendo thinks that, like, oh, we've got all these brand new, beautiful, like, the Super Smash Bros. 3DSs are coming here. An NES-inspired one is coming. I can't think of any more.
The Persona Q there one. Yeah,
I think it's kind of those three and the Smash coming in the two colors. So yeah, it'd be interesting if those were in the pipeline first before any like official confirmation whether Nintendo of America and Nintendo of Europe would be able to get hold of the new 3DS. So maybe they're delaying it because they've allotted a certain amount of these to be produced and they don't think they'll be able to sell any if the new one comes out. Or I don't know, it just confuses me quite a lot, this decision. I mean, if they hadn't said anything about Australia and New Zealand, and it was just for Japan only, it would be a lot easier to accept. But yeah.
I agree. Do you think that, I don't know if there's been any confirmation that when the new 3DS comes out in Australia and New Zealand, Is it going to launch with Xenoblade Chronicles?
They've said that they've confirmed Xenoblade will come out, but it won't be for launch. It will be next year.
Okay.
Okay.
So what's the point of even having a new 3DS yet?
Well, I guess you get to use the C-Stick in Smash Bros. If you're really into that. And I guess you'll also be able to access Miiverse in Smash Bros. And just have the general kind of, it's a bit faster type stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, that's about it.
Oh, and I guess the 3DS is better. Or the 3D, sorry, the 3D itself.
That's true, yeah.
Is supposedly better, so.
Yeah. We've had some kind of hands-on reports of that recently as well, and apparently it's as good as Nintendo's trying to sell it to be. Because I was very dubious, like, how well is this going to work? As in, as soon as they said, oh, the camera tracks your eyes, and then
I know
it will display the 3D accordingly, I was like, that's not going to work. Have you played any of the games which rely on the 3DS's camera? They are rubbish. but the feedback apparently is it just works. However technically it's doing it, you can look around the system and apparently it just kind of follows you. The only negative thing I've heard is if you look away from your system and then look back, it takes a couple of seconds for it to kind of refocus. But that's only if you're like literally like look away from the system to look at something else then go back. But at that point, I think that's almost fair play. Because you should be pausing at that point anyway.
That is good news, I guess. Yeah. I mean, I've been kind of planning on getting a new 3DS just because I want to play Xenoblade Chronicles on the go, if nothing else. But that's good too.
Yeah, it would also be interesting to see if like how the aiming works on like Ocarina of Time 3D games, which use the accelerometer to actually aim. Before, like, you couldn't use that with 3D; it would just break it. So I wonder if this is good enough to be able to have both now, to, you know, have your cake and eat it. So you can have your 3D slider turned on and you can like aim while moving your 3DS around without breaking the 3D.
Well, it sounds pretty likely that will be the case. Well, yeah, from what you say anyway. I'm just going off what you say right now.
Yeah.
But some more disturbing news. I mean, not that was disturbing. I mean... Yay for Australia and New Zealand.
It's disturbing for us because we're not getting it for next year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Good for them. Not so good for us.
Right. Also not good for us is that no downloadable content is coming to the Wii U version of Watch Dogs.
So is this just because no one will buy it? And this is thus no one will be able to download anything?
Who knows? Yeah. Ubisoft, you're a mystery.
It is. It's... It must be some sort of weird contractual obligation that their Watchdog is coming to the Wii U now. Because you see with their attitude towards it, they don't really care for it so much. So why bother putting the effort in?
You almost get the feeling they only released it because they had to, and now...
Exactly. Eh,
they're done with us. Move along.
Yeah, they're only contractually obliged to deliver, in quotes, Watchdogs for 3DS, end quote.
Yeah.
And nothing was written about the release date or any sort of DLC obligations.
Not exactly.
Oh, you just have to wonder. I mean, they delayed it for all that time.
Yeah.
Why? Just to put the map on the game or
maybe.
On the touch screen?
I know I'm going to be so disappointed, but I'm still holding out they can do something cool with the gamepad because about the entire premise of the game is the main character uses a smartwatch to do everything.
It's basically the perfect game for the gamepad.
Exactly. I'm still holding up a tiny sliver of hope that this could actually be a really cool version of the game. Regardless of the DLC, but that hope is diminishing quite a lot.
You might be dreaming.
As close as we get to the release date.
Yeah, that's a tiny sliver of hope. Super, super tiny, microscopic little sliver.
Or even, see, look, this is a freebie to Ubisoft if they cared about this game. freebie for Ubisoft here. One player plays on the Pro Controller, while the other player plays on the gamepad, who is then... messing around with the city OS, as it were, and so you kind of fight the person playing the game regularly by controlling all the cameras or the traffic lights or the cars and all the other bits you can control in that game, and the helicopters and so on, and you set them against the person sitting next to you, and you just got to see who can kind of survive the longest. I think that'd be a cool what was Nintendo calling it, asymmetric multiplayer experience, because we've not seen one of those in a little while.
Yeah,
that'd
be Ubisoft.
Cool.
You know what? The game didn't even get that great of reviews anyway, so
yeah.
What do we care, Ubisoft?
But yeah, but please make another zombie you. That was cool. I don't know. Yeah, again, it's going to be up to a review thing. I mean, another odd thing, obviously when it comes out, it's going to be full price, but the other versions obviously will be heavily discounted by then, I'd imagine. So it would have to be a damn good version to convince someone who hasn't yet to play it to pay basically the premium to get it for the Wii U, despite it not having DLC. It's got a rough time ahead of it. I can't see this game selling well at all. I reckon it's going to be abysmal.
Yeah.
But again, small sliver of hope, people. It could be great, really.
Well, you never know. All right, Super Smash Bros. For Nintendo 3DS. There's going to be this, like, national open tournament in the United States. Actually, I kind of want to ask Justin to talk about this. If you know a bit more than I do, probably.
I read a little bit about it. I was going to post something up on Infendo there. But basically, there's 15 GameStops spread across the U.S. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember the exact date off the top of my head. I want to say it was like...
The day after it comes out,
Is that what it was? Yeah, I think it was
October.
I feel like it was October 4th. Each of those GameStops can hold 64 players. So if you're actually interested in going, you might want to line up early. Mm-hmm. And each store is going to have a tournament. And then the structure from there, I'm not clear with as to if there's one champion from each GameStop, but I will get more of those details and post them up on Infendo hopefully later today. But yeah, each store is going to have a tournament. It's open to anyone and it could be interesting.
Yeah. The closest location to me is Denver, Colorado.
Yep. Yeah, I think the closest to me was Bellevue down in Washington, but I will not be making the drive and participating, unfortunately.
Nor will I.
No, but it'll be neat to kind of follow it online and see if they have any like video or anything you can post up on it.
I imagine they'll have, well, I don't know. Nintendo seems to be a big fan of just streaming stuff like this on Twitch, so... Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if there was some Twitch coverage.
Yeah, I could see that.
Especially, well, at least for the final thing in, I believe, New York. The Nintendo World Store is probably going to be the place for where the last...
Yes, that's right. The winners are all flown to New York for a final championship tournament.
That sounds pretty cool, to be fair. Just someone who's unable to participate, I think that would be cool to follow if they let us, as it were, if they do put it on Twitch to see the finals. And maybe they put some footage together of what happened at each store, as it were, and build up the different players who got there. That would be cool. And I like Nintendo's new attitude of kind of embracing things like tournaments, which they really kind of distanced themselves away from before. And I'm hoping we see a lot more of them for games like Smash Bros.
It's neat because it totally reminds me of like back in the 90s, the Super Nintendo, they did a lot of that with. They had like the Donkey Kong tournament, the Star Fox tournament.
Yeah.
And then they had the Nintendo World Championships, so it's nice to see them getting back to that, because that's a really cool thing, I think.
Especially now that, you know, technology's better, they can, like, showcase and broadcast the whole thing to other fans a lot easier nowadays, so this is just good all around.
Yeah, I think it helps kind of build interest in the games, really, because, for example, like in, say, Mario Kart 8, if this was, well, for example, like in... On the Wii game, I would have lost interest at this point. I'd take it out for some local multiplayer every now and again. But in terms of the online, it probably would have been done and forgotten about by now. But the fact that, you know, people are allowed, you know, just to create their own tournaments. We've been running one. Some other people have been running tournaments as well, which I've been participating in. It's really cool. It keeps you active with the game. It keeps you thinking about the game. And just the fact that it also encourages other people to play the game. It makes, you know, it keeps that community going, and it gives you reasons, you know, to go back and jump online. And I think it just really helps you kind of, I guess, feel kind of better connected to that franchise, especially how they bring out DLC and so on. I think, Nintendo's done some really clever things about keeping momentum going with their games, opposed to just releasing them.
Yeah, they've kept the interest high really well.
Yep, particularly for Mario Kart 8. Obviously, there's going to be a big boom in, like, online activity and such when the new DLC comes out, I think. Although, I don't know how that's going to work with online. So you unlock all the new tracks. Are you allowed to play them online?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple ways they could go about this, some more devious than others. Like, they could just do it if one of the new tracks is selected. If you don't own it, you just watch a screen, or you just watch everyone else race around, and it says, you know, track is available to purchase on the eShop. As devious as it is, that could be a good marketing tool. But I don't think that is what they'll do. They'll probably find a way to split it up, so if you don't own the track, you're just grouped with people also who don't have the tracks. And that's probably the best way to go about it.
Well, we're making the Invendo tourney. When the time comes, we're making it like people who have the new tracks only can be in the Invendo tourney, just so y'all know. I'm not going to miss out on racing those new tracks online.
And everyone will race as Link.
Probably.
That's going to be such a big problem online. Why is there only one like third-party character being introduced in this DLC pack? This first one, at least.
I'm going to be Cat Peach.
Oh, fair enough.
Just kidding. I'm totally kidding about that. I'll probably just keep racing as Rosalina. But in further Super Smash Bros. News, a Super Smash Bros. Wii U bundle was, you know, apparently mistakenly revealed on Amazon. I think it was like probably $99.99, so about $100 for the game, a limited edition GameCube controller with the Smash Bros. Emblem on it. You know, we kind of know about that. And the GameCube controller adapter for $100. So
I'm not sure have they listed the prices individually yet for like the limited edition controllers and the adapters.
I am not sure. I got this news from Nintendo Life actually.
Yeah, I'm not sure they have. So I mean, when they do, we can find out if this is a good deal or not. Basically, I've got suspicion it might carve something off the price of buying them separately.
Yeah. I think it does. According to Nintendo Life, it like carves $10 off.
Yeah, I saw the prices somewhere. I'm blanking on what they exactly were, but the bundle does carve off at least $10 to $20 from the individual prices.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a good option then, considering it is like a optional package to get.
Yeah, and I only own like one GameCube controller.
Ah, so you're going through the GameCube route then?
I would love to have just a new GameCube controller, especially a limited edition one. That would be awesome. I don't know if I would use it much to play Smash Bros, though. Honestly, I don't care that much.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be the test, GameCube really. Controller. But then I guess, yeah, I mean, you could use it for an actual GameCube. I didn't actually think about that. So, yeah, you could just use the limited edition Smash controller to play some of your favorite GameCube games, which never made it across, which is quite cool, actually. Never considered that. But, yeah, I mean, I've kind of committed myself down the Pro Controller route. I've bought some extra Pro Controllers. And I think I can't justify buying GameCube controllers as well as having wireless Pro controllers. Just there's so many controllers for Nintendo systems. I'm not going to make it even worse and just add extras. Because I like to play a lot of virtual console games on Wii mode. So I need to keep my regular classic controllers around as well as my new Pro controllers.
Yeah.
So I'm not getting GameCube controllers again.
Well, just having the one extra limited edition one would be fantastic for me, so this is definitely something I'm looking into. We're just going to end this news section. I did not include this in you guys' notes. I only added it after I sent them out. Just a quick Retro Redux update, which I haven't done in a while. I still don't have a new vote. I should probably get a new vote soon-ish. But I just want to quickly go over... I kind of told this story a little bit in my report card on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. But I wanted to hold off on the report card until I had another chance to play the game with somebody, and the chance did come up. I work at a college as an English tutor, and on Wednesdays I'm there all day, but I only have like 6 hours total of tutoring. So in between my two separate tutoring hours, I have a lot of free time. And so one day I just thought, like, there's this like public use TV screen right near where I work. I'm going to go do my regular hours, of course, not playing a game, but then I will hook up an NES when I'm done and see if anyone wants to play it with me, because there's a lot of students here who like their old school Nintendo games. So I actually did get some strangers to play Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with me at this little community college that's like 20 minutes away from where I live. So it was super fun, for one thing. For another thing, it kind of taught me that Video games bring people together.
Yeah.
Everyone has shared experience, especially with Nintendo, because Nintendo has that longer history than the other companies do with video games. And so, yeah, the NES Quest is going well. And I've also been playing Star Tropics, of course. I'm a lot further in that than I was last time, and I've just really been enjoying it. It's such a fun game. There was this dungeon, you have to finish it in order to save this dolphin's little baby son or something like that. And it's when you finally save the little dolphin, it's so cute when they get together and they're like making their little dolphin sounds. So good. But it's just got a lot of quirkiness and personality to it. I really love Star Tropics. And that pretty much concludes my Retro Redux update for you guys. Unless you have any questions. Lewis, have you been playing Star Tropics?
I have not been playing Star Tropics. I will catch up on that so I can report back on the next show. But no, I've got no feedback to give on Star Tropics currently.
Darn.
Yeah.
Well, it's all right. There's so many games to play in so little time. That's like my motto now.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That's pretty much always my motto.
Yep. Which is, again, why I'm kind of going slowly in Star Tropics as well, but
then we do have Smash on the horizon, so that will be interesting.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Oh, so many games. You know, I might not get a whole lot of time to play NES games until after Christmas, because obviously the holidays are the time for games.
Yeah.
So, but we'll move on now to our feature, which is listener comments and questions. Mostly what I've got here, actually, is just comments. Our last episode was our Forgotten Gems episode. We just talked about forgotten or obscure games that are still great. So a lot of listeners actually responded to that and let us know what their forgotten gems were. I kind of, just so you listeners know who I have comments here for, I kind of summarized your longer comments. And so I just wanted to try to get the main points into this. So just keep that in mind as I read these. But we'll start with Gentis, 1208. And another thing here, if I get your name horribly wrong, let me know that as well. So as far as I can tell, this guy, his screen name is Gentis, 1208. He says, my all-time favorite series is Bit Trip. It originally came out as a WiiWare download in 6 chapters. They also released Bit Trip Saga for the 3DS, which is my favorite version and super cheap. And Bit Trip Complete was on the Wii. It has extra challenges and leaderboards. There is also a Bit Trip Presents Runner 2 Future Legend of Rhythm Alien. That's all a title. The sequel to Runner, which is on Wii U, PlayStation Network, Xbox Live, and the PlayStation Vita, apparently. So, the Bit Trip series, which originally came out for WiiWare in 6 chapters, so 6 kind of different Bit Trip games came out. Those are Gentis's forgotten gems. Also, I think it's good to point out here that his favorite, so in case you guys are interested in this, his favorite version is Bit Trip Saga for the 3DS. So for those of you who like to go back and experience games that you kind of missed out on, there's a good option for you. Risen Devil says, as far as hidden gems are concerned, I think one of the best places to look is the WiiWare service and selection. So again, some WiiWare examples here. Tora Bash, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, is an excellent and unique fighter, and yet it moves is pretty much the only puzzle platformer I've ever enjoyed. So that game's called And Yet It Moves. kind of an interesting title. But he says, it's pretty much the only puzzle platformer I've ever enjoyed. Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, My Life as a King, and Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, My Life as a Dark Lord, are some amazing, standout, non-traditional Final Fantasy games for WiiWare. So there are quite a few WiiWare examples for you to look back at. I'm pretty sure you can still buy WiiWare games now, right?
Yeah, definitely can. And it does seem that WiiWare does seem to attract the games with longer names.
Yeah, no kidding, the mouthfuls.
Yeah, I think I own most of the mouthfuls. I'm not sure if there is a pattern there, oddly. The games with the shorter names on that list I've not played, but the ones with the mouthfuls I have. Which obviously includes Bit Trip Presents Runner 2 Future Legend of Rhythm Alien, which is an awesome game. You should pick it up on your Wii U.
I played like the first level of that.
You played the first level?
I just got it and didn't have quite a lot of time to commit to playing it, and so I didn't. I'll go back to it eventually, hopefully. I just like music games, so, yeah. You know, if there's a rhythm game out there that looks good, I'll probably get it even if I can't get around to it for a while. So, but that one's not a WiiWare one, just so y'all know. It's a
it's an eShop
I'm talking
game.
To our listeners now. It's it's a Wii U download. It's also on Xbox Live, PlayStation Network, etc. So WiiWare, you know, I always liked Moto Heroes. I didn't get a whole lot of WiiWare games, but Moto Heroes was kind of my favorite out of all of them that I did get. That game it's kind of boring to play alone, but just get a buddy to play it with you, and it's simple enough that you can get just about anybody to play it. Super fun, so.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's my WiiWare recommendation.
Cool.
All right, finally from, FRX. I'm not sure. It's a capital R, capital F, lowercase r, capital X. So I usually just say FRX, but maybe FR like kind of stands for something. Let me know. But he says, one game I will never forget and hope to be resurrected one day. Lufia, especially the second game, Lufia 2, Rise of the Sinistrals on the Super Nintendo. Anyone who likes RPGs should look into this and play it on the SNES if possible. Lots of great dialogue, great battles, and a nice story. Lufia 2 is a prequel to the first Lufia and the first one to actually make it to Europe. Definitely the one to start with in the series. So we've got Lufia, which I guess that's a Super Nintendo game as well. And
yep.
Then Lufia 2, which is a prequel to the first game. So he actually recommends that you start with Lufia 2 and play it on the Super Nintendo if possible.
Oh, yes. Those are excellent games. More of the same Super Nintendo JRPGs. That's easily the best system for RPGs ever, in my opinion. And yeah, Lufia's great games. I never got a chance to beat either one, but I've dabbled in a little of both of them, and they're excellent. He's bang on with that recommendation.
And it certainly is kind of forgotten, or obscure, because I didn't know about these either.
Yeah, it slips under the radar a bit. It doesn't get the same hype as, like, Final Fantasy, Chrono Trigger, and all those ones, but no, it's excellent.
Cool. And as far as you know, it's never been on the Virtual Console?
I've never noticed it, no.
Hmm.
That would be great.
He says play it on the Super Nintendo. It
yeah.
looks like you almost have no choice unless you can find it an emulator somewhere online, I guess.
I think it was.
I don't know about other types.
I think they both had Game Boy Advance ports. I'm not sure whether they are good quality
yes,
or not.
Yes, they did.
But,
nah, yeah. I never played them, but they did have Game Boy Advance ports. As for Super Nintendo, good luck finding it on there for a reasonable price. But if you can,
darn.
Do it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just checking the Wii Virtual Console now, just to double check our facts on if it's on there or not.
Good idea. He also, like, right at the beginning of his comment, FRX says he hopes that it's resurrected someday. So let's keep holding out hope for that. I'd definitely look into it if it was kind of revived. I'm trying to. Oh, the question I had is who developed this game or these games?
Yeah, I'm trying to pull that up as we speak. Lufia was developed by Neverland and published by Taito.
And unfortunately, from my side, no software matching your criteria was found. Also, apparently I've got 1,000 Wii points just laying around.
Oh.
you don't often see that every day.
Nope. You should, what was I? Moto Heroes, I believe, is, well, I don't know how things work in Europe, but that might be around the same price as Moto Heroes. You should consider that one.
Before jumping into the shop, I saw on my downloaded games World of Goo, which would be my recommendation. I'm not sure if it counts as obscure or not, but potentially does. If you've not played it, it's still definitely worth downloading. I think you can also get it on the iPad and the PC, but you can access it on the Wii.
Which was its original system.
Exactly,
anyway.
Yeah. It was the original release, and it plays fantastically on there with the Wii pointer. And yeah, it's an awesome game. It's a puzzle game. But it's got a really cool like music score, and just kind of the themes throughout the game are pretty cool. But yeah, just lots of good puzzles, and it's a really cool experience.
Yeah, I had one too, actually. After I listened to the last podcast, I went and flicked through all my old Super Nintendo and Nintendo games, trying to see what I had that I could suggest. And the one game that is probably pretty obscure kind of caught my eye was The Twisted Tales of Spike McFang.
Yeah, never heard of that one.
Yeah, it's like an action RPG. It's more childlike. It's got a lot of like whimsy to it, but it's really neat. You play as like a a vampire prince trying to save his kingdom, and you also do magic with magic cards to use spells, so you collect different magic cards, so it's pretty neat. I think it slipped under the radar a little bit, but it's a pretty fun game.
Wait, which system was that on?
That was Super Nintendo.
Super Nintendo, okay. Okay, you gotta send me the title of that in like a tweet or something, because I already forgot what that is.
Yeah, that's the Twisted Tales of Spike McFang, but I'll send that to you.
It does sound like a quirky, fun kind of game. Spike, what is his name?
Spike McFang.
Spike McFang. Perfect name for a vampire prince.
Yeah.
That sounds fantastic.
Also, just in case everyone else is searching for Moto Heroes, it's Heroes with a Z.
What?
At least...
It's got a different name in Europe?
Oh, I don't know. I just did an internet search because I couldn't find it first. And it was Heroz, which is not what I was searching for, so I'm just going to try that now. So maybe that is the European name, if it's that is not the name elsewhere. It's found it by that name, but unfortunately every year it's 1,500 points, so it's still 500 more than I have. Aww. But it does have a demo. So I can download the demo on WiiWare, which is not an activity I've done in absolute years, and see if it can convince me to pour an extra 500 points in my system.
Okay, just play it with someone.
Oh, okay.
At least once.
Is it just one extra person I need, or?
Just at least one.
At least one, but potentially more.
Yeah, it supports up to 4-player multiplayer. Oh, man, I want to go back to that now. I'm going to go back to that sometime in the next
I'm impressed. Sorry, this review I just landed on, the double-check the name, gave it 10 out of 10.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
I'd give the multiplayer 10 out of 10. It's a blast for some weird reason. It's the physics. It's just got these weird but super, super fun physics when you're bouncing around. The cars are kind of, or the trucks, I guess, are kind of bouncy. And so when you've got like four people, like, you know, trying to get to the end and bouncing all over each other and trying to, because it's competitive, it's not a co-op game at all, so just trying to get to the end first with all the weird physics going on is so much fun. I'm going back to that. I just can't resist now. So there's a good WiiWare game for you as well.
Yes, so I can leave my impressions on the demo at least next time.
So FRX also asked some questions. They're all related, of course, but he asks, what games of this generation were too hard for you to play? Can you finish them all? And do you think they should be made harder, or would you keep them the way they are now? So I think that basically he's asking, are there any games this generation, like, you know, I'd say 3DS, maybe the Wii, starting with Wii, PS3, Xbox 360 generation up to now, is what he's talking about. So were any games that we tried playing too hard? Is it possible to finish them all? And do we think they should be made harder? You know, like back in the 80s, games were a little harder than they are now. Should games be made harder, or should they stay about the same? Any initial thoughts on that to kick us off?
That's the thing. I mean, my initial reaction is that I'm struggling to think of a specific example, which makes me think that more modern games are doing a better job giving players options of difficulty. Whereas, you know, back in the day, it would be quite easy to find a game which, you know, test your difficulty so much that it stops you from playing. But nowadays you can usually just drop the difficulty and then you forget it was ever an issue. So on that side of things, I think at least most, I mean, Nintendo as well is doing things with the Super Guide. So I don't think any of Nintendo's games of recent years have what I would call too difficult. But I'll let someone else shout up if they've thought of anything specific.
I haven't thought of anything.
No, I mean, you could make the argument that certain games are too long. I mean, again, back to Bravely Default, it's like a 60-hour game. To some people, that might be too long. As for too hard, I'm struggling to think of anything that's too hard. If anything, some games might be too easy at this point. I know a lot of platformers, and they kind of hold your hand for a little bit, and they definitely don't have that difficulty that the original 80s games had, but nothing I can think of that's too hard.
Swing it.
So that kind of goes into the question of, like, do you think games today should be made harder? Do you?
That's the thing. I mean, they do have the difficulty options. Like, I've recently been playing through Sin and Punishment on the Wii. Essentially Sin and Punishment 2, which can be an absolutely brutal game. But if you play it on the lower difficulty mode, it's not so much. You know, it's still difficult, but it's very much achievable. But again, I know it does have a lot of difficulty modes where you can, you know, really push yourself to the limit if you are so inclined to do so. And I think that is a good way of doing it, really. If you are the sort of person who really wants to kind of break it down, really have a challenge, really master specific parts of levels, and get a big accomplishment from defeating like the most difficulty thing that, you know, the game developer could think of, it's great to have it in there. But I don't think we necessarily need to go back to the old school days and have that be like the only option of playing the game, and it's like just a game for people of a very specific skill level. I don't think there's anything wrong with having lower difficulty levels to include more people in.
I think that's absolutely the thing that saves some games for sure, is the options. The scale of difficulty is great. I mean, things like Fire Emblem, to someone who is a very casual gamer, you can turn permadeath off. Whereas me, I always play with permadeath on. And yeah, some of those games do kick the difficulty up. That's the thing that saves them from being too easy for sure.
See, now I think that's a great example, actually, because if Awakening came out and you weren't able to turn the permadeath mode off, I think a lot of people would have complained about the difficulty of the game and would have discouraged people from playing it. I reckon that would
have... Some people complained that the option was there to turn permadeath off. Some people thought, like, that's not Fire Emblem. So people still complained, but it is definitely a lot more accessible, and it probably sold a little better because it was more accessible.
Yeah, I'd say that probably affected the sales big time of that game, because wasn't that, like, the best-selling Fire Emblem game yet? So...
In the West, certainly.
If I'm right, so I think that made a big difference out in the West here. So, yeah, that's a good option for some, but not the hardcore Fire Emblem fans, I suppose. But
but you can just keep permadeath on.
Yeah, exactly.
Stop complaining about it. Yeah. So I actually thought of a game that I don't think I'll ever really beat. I mean, I got to the credits of it. Rune Factory Frontier. The way to get to the credits, I think, is to have a kid, which is weird. That's when the game started weirding me out, because you can't be a female character in that game. So as soon as I got my character married and had a kid, I was like, this is just getting weird for me. But at least I reached the credits. Still, I did not beat the game. The combat and the dungeon exploring, I think beating that aspect of the game is going to be real tough. I played the game for well over 100 hours, probably close to 200 hours, and still was unable to beat the dungeons in that game all the way. So that was a game, I don't know. I mean, I still play it once in a while because it was such an addicting game. Of course, it's Rune Factory, but I'm not sure if I'm ever going to beat the actual dungeons in that game. Especially now that I'm so weirded out by it.
Yeah, you would have thought, I mean, I'm just having a guess here. I obviously don't have access to any numbers, but you would think those sort of games sell quite well to the female demographic as well as guys. So you would think they would give you the option to play as one or the other.
Yeah, in newer Rune Factory games, Rune Factory 4, I believe, is the most recent. It's on 3DS, and I've been meaning to get it. You can choose to be a male or a female, and I think the second game, Rune Factory Frontier, which is what I was just talking about, is on the Wii. They actually made another Rune Factory game for the Wii that allowed you to choose a female. So, you know, as time goes on, things like options like that become available, obviously. But yeah, the version I played, Frontier, that one did not give you that option. So,
yeah.
Which is funny because, yeah, they kind of have this, I don't know, I don't think they specifically target female gamers, but they kind of just are that way. I think they just kind of naturally appeal to female gamers
Yeah, I think they appeal to kind of beyond kind of the, you know, the core gamer group, as it were, which was, you know, traditionally made up of, you know, just boys, or mostly. But yeah, I think that those sort of games appeal to, you know, a wide variety of people, which obviously, you know, starts in, you know, includes both, you know, guys and girls. So yeah, it makes sense if you can have those options, if it's going to be such a core part of the game, as it were.
So, yeah. That's my one example that I could think of that I'm not sure if I'll ever beat it. The dungeons get so dang hard, and you have to it's a game where you have to grind, but no matter how long I play it, I've just never grinded enough. So I'm kind of struggling to beat that one. Did you guys think of any examples as I was talking about that though? Maybe not.
No. I came up with a joke answer with Mario Kart Online. Well, they're actually saying that. Beyond my joke answer, just like, you know, the single player modes in, say, in Mario Kart 8, I think the difficulty is well out of whack. Not that it's necessarily hard to just go through the GPs, but if you want to do the completionist thing and do unlock everything and do everything on, you know, the 150cc and place, get all the stars, I just think the way the enemies handle kind of the item collection and, you know, and dishing out the weapons, like, just before you're going to pass the finish line. And I feel it's so much more luck-based than it is skill. And that's such, you know, the wrong way to do difficulty. Because you just feel it wastes your time.
I have to agree with that.
And you'll try it again, and it's purely a matter of if you get lucky, depending on what the enemies get. Unless you happen to get a super horn. But you can't really rely on getting that. There's no real skill in getting a super horn.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that's an example of a game just doing difficulty wrong. And it feels disjointed from the game. Feels a bit artificial.
Yeah. No, that's a good point.
So, yeah, I think that's my best example I can give, as weird as it is.
That kind of makes sense, though.
Yeah, it's Mario Kart. Mario Kart's been like that. The Wii version was horrible.
Oh, yeah.
To that as well.
I think, yeah, because it was more reliant on that to unlock everything, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, dearie.
Or at least in 8, you can unlock everything by just playing certain amounts of races, at least the characters and so on.
Yep.
Here's a good example of difficulty done right. Like, so right. Like, the best right there is. Kid Icarus is
it,
Uprising.
Oh, yes, I knew it. Old slide bar.
And just for the listeners who may not know what I'm talking about, but in Kid Icarus Uprising, you have like 25 chapters. Are they more than 20? I don't know how many chapters. 25, I believe.
Spoilers.
Chapters. Whenever you pick, that's completely irrelevant to this case.
No, it's not. You know
whenever,
it.
I've been playing Phoenix, right? so whenever you start a level, you can choose the difficulty. But you have to spend hearts, which is like the game's currency. You can spend no hearts, keep the difficulty at level 2, and just like gain a certain amount of hearts back. If you bet your hearts, so if you spend your hearts to increase the difficulty, you'll earn more back, but obviously the difficulty is worse, and if you die, you'll, you know, lose some of those. You can go up to intensity 9, of course. Or you can even spend hearts to make it super easy and go down to, is 1 the lowest or is 0 the lowest?
I think it's 0.1.
Oh, yeah, 0.1. I just have never gone down that
road. I have
road.
Studied that difficulty system because I'm borrowing it.
That makes me really excited for Twisted Fusion.
It is as close as I can get. Currently actually has the same names, but I've got a feeling I'm gonna have to change that as well.
yeah.
But also, what is cool, Smash Bros. Uses the same system as well.
I was just gonna say the same thing. It's got that same scale up to super intense or whatever the name is they've got for it.
Yeah, so you can pour money
into... Do you bet something?
You do. You bet your coins, I believe it is. Just to even bigger rewards if you win. Obviously, if you don't, you lose a bunch of coins. So I think it's a cool way to do it.
It is. Yeah, especially like that risk versus reward system. It's just genius. Sakurai, you're a genius. So that's the right way to do difficulty, if you ask me. Just answer the question, though. It says, do you think that games should be made harder, or would you keep them the way they are now? My short answer to that is I think they should just be kept the way that they are now, basically. I think that, in general, developers do things right nowadays. I would maybe make a tweak to the Super Mario thing, where if you lose a level enough times, you get that mocking... Super Leaf.
Yeah, well, how would you change it?
It's just
get rid of it?
I don't know how you'd change it, but that just drives me crazy. It's like, I am sucking that much right now. Thanks, game. Thanks. Sheesh. But it's all right. I think it could be changed. I don't have any ideas to how it could be changed, so I'm not going to complain too much about it.
I think that we could be encroaching in next week's territory at this point. Assuming the theme hasn't changed.
Okay. I know what you're talking about. Suspense, everyone. Suspense.
Yeah. Can you guess the name of the next episode?
Anyone who can. I'll give them the next $5 code I get for the Wii U.
Sweet.
Through the Digital Deluxe program. Guess the name of our next episode after we just said all that. But my question for you two is, what is your short answer to this question? do you think games should be made harder, or should they generally stay the same? Lewis, go ahead and throw out your answer.
Again, it's a bit of an open one, but as long as they're keeping it optional, I fully support having harder difficulty modes in the games. I think they are leaning more towards the easy stuff now, you know, of recently. But yeah, don't be shy of adding those extra hard difficulty modes in there. But you got to have a normal one in there as well.
Cool. Justin, what's your short answer to that?
Yeah, my short answer would be generally keep it the same. I like the optional difficulties. The sliding scale is excellent. Some games, the tutorials go a bit long, and that can be annoying. But as for the actual gameplay,
good point.
Yeah, I can't stand when they like talk you through the first five levels. It's like, all right, just let me play. I'll figure it out. But no, I think it's pretty good the way it is, as long as you've got the option to make it more difficult. As long as it's not, you're stuck on easy, it's not so bad.
Yeah. So we do have a few gripes there. I mean, even I had a gripe. I was thinking, like, the way to change that for Super Mario is you should be able to turn it on or off. I would turn the Super Leaf off if I could, just completely. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's not like I have to use it if it pops up, but when it pops up, it just drives me crazy because the game is just laughing at me, mocking me.
Yeah, I'd even say chuck in an option to change how often you have to fail before it pops up. And that could work both ways. So for players like us, we could like set it to like, I think the usual is like 7 or 8. Like we could set it to 20 or something. So that's like frustration point. If you really get to
that's give up point for me.
Exactly. So if you get to it, it's like, fine, let's use it, let's move on. But for others, they might even want to move it down. They might think, you know, 8 times dying is way too much. That's past the frustration point. They might want it purely like 3 times. That might be enough of failing on a particular level before they want to move on and see what else the game has to offer. Again,
yeah, that's a pretty good idea.
Options are good. Let's stick them in.
Yeah, why not? So another gripe that we actually, the tutorial thing, I think was actually a good thing to bring up. I think one of the worst tutorials that I've ever had in a game was actually Xenoblade Chronicles, which in an RPG like that, it's kind of necessary that you have all this information. But oh my gosh, that game just bombards you with tutorials at the beginning.
Yeah.
It's all worth it in the end. I spent like 115 hours on my first playthrough, and it was just a solid 115 hours. There was never a dull moment. I loved that game, but the tutorials at the beginning were just crazy. So much to read. And if you didn't read it all and learn how to do everything, then you probably were suffering later on. I learned that the hard way.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you need to know it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, but there's Skyward Sword. People use that as an example, obviously, of a game that holds your hand, but
yeah, and I said a lot of the 3D Zeldas have that issue. Like Twilight Princess as well drags on at the beginning. Has a very slow start.
Oh yeah.
But when you get beyond the hump, as it were, it's a fantastic game.
Mm. Same with Skyward Sword, I think.
Yeah. No, is it? Yeah, same.
So, all right. Unless we have any comments that we just are desperate to make, I think that we have overstayed our welcome, possibly. For this episode. I just want to quickly say thanks, Justin, for joining us tonight. It was really great to have you.
Oh, anytime.
Thanks also to our listeners for listening. If you want to make a comment on anything that we have said tonight, please do so. If you're in your browser, you can leave a comment on the post, and we will see that. If you're not in your browser, you can also send us an email to contact@infendo.com. We'd love to hear from you. We will try to get your questions and comments on here if we can. So please send us that mail. With that, this has been Infendo Radio. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Bye, everybody.
Yeah, catch you next time.
Woohoo!
Lufia.
Lufia.
Nice Hook reference.
It kind of sounds like that. Neverland.
Yeah. So there you go. There's Rufio is in Neverland. Perfect.